to be the king of a vast domain, and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords to. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather be his and let I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Thank you, Carolyn. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 6. I love that song, I'd rather have Jesus, and certainly I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Reminded of the man that there at the gate beautiful. And Peter and John came up, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And I tell you what, that was much better than silver and gold. That man walked. Praise the Lord for that. In fact, you know, that man turned the ancient world upside down. One person's life can make a difference. Tonight, your life can make a difference where you are, in your community, in your home, your neighborhood, your workplace. You can make a difference. Let's stand together to read God's word in John chapter 6, verse number 26. John 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Thank you, and you may be seated. A young lady began to work at a bank, and she had her concerns. She'd passed all her background checks and everything else, and she started on her first day at work, and her supervisor came up, and as he was going through the instruction on how to handle the money and how to handle the window and everything else and explaining about security measures, one of the things that she asked him was, she said, "How can I know the difference between the true money and counterfeit money?" She said, "What?" She said, "Is there any way I can get some counterfeit money, maybe see it or feel it, so I know the difference?" Supervisor said, "Absolutely not." He said, "What we want you to do is, we want you to handle the real. We want you to know what is real and genuine. We want you to be so familiar with the real and the genuine that when the artificial or the counterfeit money is handed to you, you'll know the difference." Jesus was that way. Jesus knew the difference between those who were true followers of him and those who were not. Jesus knew the difference. And tonight I want to preach on the subject, the pursuit of a Christian. Because I want to ask you a question, what are you pursuing tonight? You see, whatever you pursue will tell me where you are spiritually. Now, I've met people in my life who they pursued things. That's all they wanted. They always wanted the next gadget, the next toy, the next this, the next that. That's all they wanted. They pursued things. I met some people that pursued money. That's all they wanted. They were just all about money. I mean, everything they wanted to do is, you know, all they did was talk about being a millionaire, and that's what they sought after, and that's what they wanted. That was their concern. I met people who are pursuing a career. That's all they wanted was their career. Can I get more? And, you know, and maybe I get a promotion, or I get this job, or I get that job. There are some people that are pursuing pleasure. All they do is think about, you know, what is the next event that I can have pleasure in, and that's what I want, and that's what I'm interested in. But let me tell you this. In all of those pursuits tell you something about who that person is. It tells you about their spiritual values. It tells you where they are. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is telling us about our heart. What are we pursuing? The followers were attracted to following Jesus because he just fed 5,000. And they'd seen that, and they were amazed that he had fed 5,000 people with so little. And so they were kind of hanging around because, you know, they were looking out that maybe somehow or another they might benefit from more things that they could get. But I'm going to remind you of this tonight, that the pursuit of the believer, those who are true followers of Jesus Christ, their pursuits will be noticeably different from that of the follower of the world. Those who are counterfeit followers, their pursuits will be different. For example, March 2nd, our banquet. Man, I'm pursuing the will of God on that night. And I trust and pray that be your heart, that you would say, God, I'm not about trying to advance me or our church. I want God's will to be done on Friday night, March the 2nd. God, I want you to do something amazing. That's what I want. I just want to see a miracle occur. Because I believe that God's that kind of a God. And here I find in this passage three evidences of those who understand that they are true followers of Christ as opposed to those who are counterfeit followers. I want you to look at them with me tonight in this passage. Three evidences in your notes there in front of you. Number one, write this one down. Those who are true followers, always those who are true followers, are those who have a pursuit of faith. A pursuit of faith. Here we find that that there were some who would seek the temporal. That's what they wanted. I mean, they were asking Jesus about the temporal. They were seeking miracles, according to verse number 30. That's what they want. Show us more of those miracles. Jesus said, I want to see you do kind of wave your magic wand or snap your finger or you know, kind of speak and do a miraculous thing. I'm amazed by the miracles. That's one of the reasons why I have a problem with the charismatic movement, because they are miracle seekers. They're wrapped around emotions. They're not wrapped around solid Bible truth. What they want is they want something miraculous. They're looking for signs. Seeking the temporal. At Pentecost in early first century, there were those who were concerned about signs. That's what the Jews wanted. They wanted signs. Signs were temporal. There are those who are sometimes finding themselves that's what they're driven for, seek after temporal. Well, man, you just don't understand, Pastor. I really want that Maserati. I mean, I tell you, I really do. That's what I want. Lord, you don't understand. You know, I got to have that fishing boat. I mean, that boat, man, that'll really build our family. I'll put our family together. That's what I want. You see, there are some who are seeking the temporal. Now, do I think there's something wrong with having a boat? Absolutely not. Do I think there's something wrong with you know, trying to advance my career? No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that at all. But I do believe that when we find ourselves all wrapped up in the temporal and we neglect the eternal, we miss the whole point of what Jesus is saying. The problem in this case for these were there were their counterfeit followers. That's what they were doing. Have you ever noticed that there's some people that when they come, sometimes they come into a ministry or a church that, you know, they come for different reasons other than those which are legitimate. I've had that happen, and I've had some, and you know, there's some people that do attend for the wrong reasons. Some want to get a following. I had one man call me up one time, and here's what he said. He said, "I'm going to come to church." And I said, "Great, yeah, we'd love to have you." And he came. And he saw we had a decent crowd. Thought we had a good crowd this morning. Saw the crowd, you know. And here's what he said. He says, "You know, I'm going to get up and I want to say something to the church." I said, "What do you want to say?" He said, "Well, that's kind of between me and God." I said, "No, it's between me and you and God. That's my pulpit." And he said, "Well, you don't understand." He said, "I just want to have a hearing." I said, "No, you don't need a hearing. What you need to do is leave. Hey, I'm the shepherd here, okay? I'm guarding the sheep. I'm not going to give someone a hearing who's going to get up and give some kind of heretical teaching. Amen? Amen? Hey, I'm not about that stuff, you know. You say, well, you hurt his feelings. No, he hurt God's feelings by what he said. Okay? There's no way. You know, there's some people that's what they want. They want a following. Some people want a gig. You know, they want to come here and they want to, you know, they want to perform. It's not a performance. We're not here to perform. We're here to honor God. We're going to worship him. There are some who seek the temporal. But then there are some who are genuine. They understand that if you are a believer of Christ and you are a true follower of Christ, you're going to want to seek after and pursue faith. I want my faith to grow. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In verse number 28, Jesus tells them that there are those who will believe on the Lord. Some will believe on the Lord. Some will understand and they will believe. In fact, did you notice down in, look at verse 28 what he said. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we might do or work the works of God?" By the way, don't you want God's work to occur on Friday night, March 2nd? You know, I'm a little bothered because I think things are a little weak around here about that, but I'm going to tell you something. God's going to do something big on that night. And I remember when, you know, we're in this little building right in here years ago, and I would get up and preach like this, and it was a little weak on that time too, and then God did it, and some people are like, "Oh, praise God." By the way, God's big too, even today as he was back in those days. And I just want you to see, because God's going to do a mighty work. And the Bible says, "What shall we do?" And look at what Jesus' response was. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that ye..." And then what's that next word? Believe. Hey, we are to believe, God says. If we have faith that we can move mountains, you know, just as a grain of mustard seed, the Bible said, we could move mountains. God says that he wants us to have faith. He wants us to believe. Do you realize that the reason why that many people don't pursue God is because they don't believe God? They're not willing to believe him. Doubt is the enemy of belief. And a long time ago, I just feel like and believe that what God said that we must believe is still in the Bible. Philippian jailer in the jail during the earthquake came out, and he heard him singing at midnight in the earthquake, and it shook the foundations, and they went out and they said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." See, I'm afraid that somehow or another we have some people who don't believe. And God says that's critical if you're to understand anything about the work of God. Followers of God, believe. Several years ago, God began to show me something about the fact when we deal with people about their salvation. And he said, you know, yeah, we ask Jesus to be our Savior, but one thing we don't want to fail to mention in that is we need to believe on Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. It's a work of faith. What God does is a work of faith. And what God is saying to us in this passage is that there are some who seek the temporal, but true followers, we're pursuing after faith. Dear God, I just want my faith to be strengthened. I want it to grow. I want it to be greater than it already is. So the first evidence of true believers is they pursue faith. Write down the second. Here's the second one. Ready? It's a pursuit of doctrine. Now, doctrine has been downplayed in our society. Doctrine has been something that people don't understand. I put a little slide up. Can we put the next slide up for them to see there, Joel? The next slide says, doctrine is a set of beliefs. No, I think you missed one. It's if we're going to pursue doctrine, a doctrine is a set of beliefs. Did I put it in the wrong order? Maybe I got out of order a little bit. It's not in there? Okay. It's probably in your notes there in front of you. Doctrine equals a set of beliefs. Now, let me explain to you about a set of beliefs, all right? Beliefs, that's foundational. You understand what I mean by that? Beliefs are foundational. Here it is. This is our belief. This Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. That's our belief. In other words, you might say it this way. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die not for Chaucer's books, not for Obama's speeches. I'm going to die for the Word of God. In other words, what matters the most is what this book says right here. That's my set of beliefs. What brings us together as a church is not the fact we're all in California and we're the local church and there is no other, because that's not really true. What brings us together is our set of beliefs. It's our doctrine. A church that operates and functions is a church that understands you need to have right doctrine. And doctrine has to be centered in truth. And that was the verse that Joel was trying to show you there, that he was getting ready to kind of shoot up on the screen. And here's what it says: and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, doctrine is truth. This set of beliefs need to be that which is centered in truth. It's not the commonality of the fact we all have an assent to God, it's the fact that we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we believe in Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this? The ranks are getting thinner, and the resistance toward the name of Christ is becoming greater than it ever has been before. We are living right now in a society that you can be a Muslim and freely practice it in the public schools and carry the Quran, but you cannot pray in the hallways or carry a Bible. Something is wrong with that picture. I am bothered by the fact that you cannot be a believer in Jesus Christ in this society and have the freedoms that you could in other societies of the world. We need to understand, it doesn't matter what the world says, our hope, our trust, our faith, our belief, our doctrine is in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Let me bring your attention to some things. Letter A, the belief of Christ. We do not believe that Jesus Christ was just a good man. We do not believe that Jesus Christ was just a good prophet. That he was just a good example. He was just a teacher. We believe that he's the Savior of the world. He was the virgin-born Son of God. He was he who came to this earth. He was he who never one time sinned. He was very God of gods. We understand that. That separates him from the Jesuses of the rest of the religions of the world. Do you realize that the Mormons believe in Jesus? But what they believe in Jesus is that they believe that he was a man just like you and me, and he evolved to become a God. That's what they say. That he evolved to become a god, and now he is, this is his planet, and we are all his spirit children. That's what he believes. That's what they believe. And so when you talk about, if you ever visit with a Mormon or you ever talk to someone or witness someone, you ask them, and they'll tell you, they'll say, yeah, oh, well, we believe in Jesus too, but it's the wrong Jesus. Do you realize that there are counterfeit Jesus and there's only one Jesus, the true Jesus? We believe in Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God. The one that Paul preached about. The one that, and by the way, we're preaching Christ here. Not Rick Stone Street, not Baptist, not philosophy, not political structuring. We are preaching Jesus and Him alone. That's the only one that does matter. Because we believe in Him. You see, true believers understand that. There are some people that will leave because, you know, they're looking for, you know, some political stuff. You know, like political jostling. I'm not interested in political jostling. You know, politics come and go. Politicians come and go. But Christ is eternal. He's the perfect one. He's the resurrected one. But then second, you know, well, let me just mention something about it. He was the pre-existing one as well. Look at verse number 62, same chapter in John. Look at it with me, please. Here's what he says in verse 62. What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. For there's some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said to them, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Notice the difference. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Wow. You know what Jesus was saying? Hey, I'm the way. There's no other way. Salvation number two, or letter B. We have the belief in salvation, and salvation is not the fact that someone is being baptized or someone's a member of a church or someone is a good person or someone has have taken first communion or someone had a belief somewhere along the way or that grandmother believed. I remember a few years ago when I was in Japan, I was preaching and I had an interpreter. Naoki, by the way, was my interpreter that time. Naoki, by the way, is one of our missionaries in Kenosha. Naoki in Kenosha is a missionary in Tokyo. I hope I'll see him next month. I know I will. But I remember Naoki was my interpreter. And I was preaching away, and I was just kind of, you know, just letting it go. I just letting it go. And the Japanese were, you know, we were connecting. You know, I would just, even though we were through an interpreter, an interrupter, whatever you want to call him, I mean, we were there. We were going at it. He was, you know, he turned to me and I looked at him and I was just going, you know, we're going back and forth. And I said, and tell them that God has no grandchildren. And he stopped me in a minute. He looked at me, stepped back like that. And he says, what do you mean no grandchildren? I said, think about it. No grandchildren. Tell them. Because the truth of the matter is, God has no grandchildren. He only has children. In other words, you're not saved because your daddy was a preacher or that your mama was a Christian or that your granddaddy prayed for you. You're not saved because of that. You are saved because you have personally trusted in Christ. It's the only way. That belief in salvation, we believe there's no other way. There is no other way. He is the only way, and we understand that, and we don't accept the fact that someone might come in and say, well, I'm religious. I may be a little different than you, but I'm religious too. It's not religion. It's Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ provided our salvation. He's the only way to heaven. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We are born by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God works in our life, and when we believe on Him, we are born again spiritually from the inside out. The Bible says in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, unto thee, ye must be born again. It's revealed in His Word, being born again, the Bible says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, true followers of Christ want to pursue doctrine. They want doctrine. That's what we want today. We want teaching. We want doctrine. That's why you're here tonight. You didn't come here tonight to hear about more about the political jostling of modern society. You could have gotten that at home. You came here tonight because you want to hear Jesus and who He is and what He did for us and what matters. True followers of Christ understand that. That's why I believe that as we've gone through this spiritual journey together, striving together for the faith of the gospel, we're growing together. We're going through that journey so that we can grow together. That's our theme. That's our mission statement. We're growing together. We're growing as a church family. We're growing individually. We are doing what God would have us to do. And that's wrapped up not in the fact that I'm your motivator, but it's in the fact that we have the doctrine that teaches us more about Him. The songwriter said it best when he says, more about Jesus would I know. More about Jesus. That's what we need, more of Him. But then there's one more I want you to write down and we'll be done. There's a pursuit of steadfastness. A pursuit of steadfastness. Dr. Barber, who I mention quite often when I preach, he's one of my dearest friends. Dr. Barber, by the way, I think he's back. I told you guys what he did. He and his wife have been married 60 years. They both turned 80 in the last 3 months. And he'd been in the ministry over 60-some years. And someone had given him a trip to Hawaii for two weeks. A cruise, of all things. And he was so excited, man. You know, hey, I'm going to Hawaii for two. I said, don't call me. Call me later, all right? But you know, we're just dear friends. It was telling me, you know, here's the same man. He's been married to the same woman 60-some years. And that's always a blessing. Here's a man who's been in the ministry all those years. Pastor the same church 35 years. He said, some people say I need to get a little stability in my life. He's always joking with me about that. And I said, well, I probably need to get a little bit too, you know. Pastor the church, same church, almost 20 years. Married the same woman almost 31 years at that time. And I said, so it looks like maybe I need to get a little stability myself. But you know, I'm going to tell you this. You may not believe this, but 31 years has not always been easy. We've had our moments where it's been challenging. Not necessarily between our relationship, but just being together in life. 20 years, 19 years, we'll say 19 years here so far. I'm going to tell you this. From day one, it's never been a honeymoon. From day one. Chrissy will tell you, it wasn't easy from day one. It's never been what we would call, you know, and you know, someone said, well, what's the dream? What's the dream church? Heaven. And I'm not the pastor. That's the one thing that will make the church a dream church, because I'm not the pastor. Jesus is. You follow where I'm coming from, folks? You get this? True followers of Christ, those who are pursuers of that which is right, understand that, you know, my goal is that I just want to, like Paul said, I want to finish my course. I want to finish the course. I just want to be able to say at the end of my life, God, I've done everything I possibly could to honor You. But false professors do not believe. The words were the dividing point. In this passage, we find that they will murmur at the truth. That's what they did, and some of them just literally walked away. And Jesus asked His own disciples, are you also going to walk away? Are the 12 of you going to also leave? And guess what? Some of them did. Is that what we do? No. I like what Philip said. Jesus, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. Where are you going to go? You leave Jesus, where are you going to go? You're going to become a Muslim? You're going to worship Muhammad, a dead man? Where are you going to go? Where do we go? If we don't believe in Jesus, then who do we believe in? See, the idea here is false professors do not believe. But we know that he's the Messiah. We know he's the Savior. We know he's real. We know he's the resurrected one. We know he's the one that has truth. We know he's the one because he lives in my heart, the songwriter says. Matthew chapter 13. We read about the wheat and the tares. We read about there are those within the ministry, be it a church or be it any ministry, there are wheat that grows up and there are the tares that grow up, and no man has a right to take the tares out. But when they grow up and mature, it will be obvious in the end which is the wheat, which is the tares. The truth will be eventually revealed. I think of sometimes those who come to church and they're bored with the truth. Something's wrong with that. I can honestly say I've never been bored with the truth of God's word. It reminds me about the man that went to the doctor. He went to the doctor, had a snoring problem. When he went in, he talked to the doctor. He said, you know, I got this snoring problem. And the doctor said, well, is this causing friction in your marriage? And he said, no, it's not causing any friction at all in my marriage. He said, but it is embarrassing my wife because the snoring keeps distracting the pastor when he's trying to preach. Wonder about where he is spiritually. You get my point, don't you? You know, there are those who just, man, they just, you know, they, all this stuff means nothing to them. You know, we preach Jesus, and they, you know, there are some people that just false professors don't believe. And have you ever noticed that it's kind of strange, but sometimes false professors like to show up in churches? I don't believe we have any in here, so don't think that way. I'm not thinking like half of you are that way or anything, okay? I'm just helping you to see. There are people that like to hang around what Jesus can offer them, but they don't have the right pursuit. They want the things that Jesus has to offer them, not who Jesus is. You follow me? You know, there's a lot of people say, well, I'll follow Jesus as long as he gives me everything I want and makes my life comfortable and makes me happy. And then, you know what? We've had messages now are catered to that. And what God says, oh no, wait a minute. I'm going to tell you this. If you follow Jesus Christ, you're going to be steadfast. You got to pursue steadfastness because there are going to be times when you are going to struggle. There are going to be times when you're going to suffer some hardship. There are going to be times when you go out in this community and you knock on the door, somebody's going to slam the door. Somebody's going to get mad at you. Somebody's going to threaten you. But it doesn't matter. We just keep on going for God. True believers do believe. Jesus reminds us that we believe because God is very clear. Jesus has the words of eternal life, and we can go no other place but to him. Peter was sure that Christ was the way to eternal life. That's why he stood and preached, and 3,000 were saved. By the way, nobody can speak for you. Peter tried to speak one time for a crowd. He was wrong. There were some who left him. We find there are some in this passage that left Jesus. But Jesus reminds us, and here's what he says. Will you also go away? You see, your pursuits will lead you away if you're not careful. What are you pursuing tonight? If we pursue Him, it always leads us toward Him. I always look at it this way. Every Christian in this room, watch me carefully. Now, this is true. Okay, stay with me here. Every Christian is either going toward Him or away from Him. And it starts with the heart. I should back up and say this. It starts with the mind, which then goes to the heart. What a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As I begin to think about wrong things and dwell on those things, and then my heart begins to want to pursue the wrong things, it's always going to take me away from God. Now, I have things that I enjoy in my life, too, like most of you do. You have hobbies. You have things that you enjoy. By the way, you better not let your hobby rob you of your service to God and you're doing something for the Lord. Hello and amen. It always bothers me when a young Christian comes in the church to get going for the Lord and things go well and God, you know, blesses them and everything goes really good for them and, you know, maybe they get a promotion at work and next thing you know, they go out and buy a boat and it takes them every weekend away from church. Won't be long before they start having problems. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over again. Because they start having problems because here's what happens is their pursuit now goes after things. And by the way, the devil will mask those things real quick. He'll mask them. Because it'll be things like, well, you know, if I buy a boat, it'll be nice for my family. It'll help build my family. Preacher's been talking about that. We'll do that. Am I against boats? I'm not. Please, understand I'm not. But I'm against anything that would take me away from Christ. Don't pursue the wrong things. Seek ye first, the Bible says, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You have a boat, get a big one, man. Enjoy it. Enjoy your hobbies. But just make sure that you don't put them in the wrong place in your life. Pursue Him. He is the one that we want to give honor to. Tonight, He's it. There is no other. There's no other place to go. He's got it all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,